Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
And now Chapter 7, Authorized Discrimination, from Canto 6, Chapter 1, Texts 37 through 39 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami continued. Being thus addressed by the messengers of Yamaraj, the servants of Vasudeva smiled and spoke the following words in voices as deep as the sound of rumbling clouds. Quote, if you are actually servants of Yamaraj, you must explain to us the meaning of religious principles and the symptoms of irreligion. What is the process of punishing others? Who are the actual candidates for punishment? Are all persons engaged in fruitive activities punishable, or only some of them? Unquote. Purport. The Yamadutas protested to the Vishnudutas, you are so exalted that it is not very good for you to interfere with our business. The Yamadutas were surprised to see that the Vishnudutas, although exalted souls, were hindering the rule of Yamaraj. Similarly, the Vishnudutas were also surprised that the Yamadutas, although claiming to be servants of Yamaraj, the supreme judge of religious principles, were unaware of the principles of religion. Thus the Vishnudutas smiled, thinking, what is this nonsense they are speaking? If they are actually servants of Yamaraj, they should know that Ajamil is not a suitable candidate for them to carry off. The Vishnudutas began to speak in grave voices. You claim to be the representatives of Dhammaraj or Yamaraj, the superintendent of death and the maintainer of religion, and you accuse us of interfering in your business which he has entrusted to you. Therefore, would you kindly explain what is dharma or religion, and what is adharma or irreligion? If you are actually representatives of Yamaraj, then you can answer this question. This inquiry put by the Vishnudutas to the Yamadutas is most important. A servant must know the instructions of his master. The servants of Yamaraj claim to be carrying out his orders, and therefore the Vishnudutas very intelligently asked them to explain religious and irreligious principles. A Vaishnav knows these principles perfectly well, because he is well acquainted with the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja, which means, quote, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, unquote. Therefore, surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the actual principle of religion. Those who have surrendered to the demands of material nature instead of to Krishna are all impious, regardless of their material position. Unaware of the principles of religion, they do not surrender to Krishna, and therefore they are considered sinful rascals, the lowest of men, and fools bereft of all knowledge. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 15, Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradamaha mayaya parita jnana asuram bhavam ashritaha, which means, quote, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me, unquote. The question posed by the Vishnu Dutas was very suitable. One who represents someone else must fully know that person's mission. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement must therefore be fully aware of the mission of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they will be considered foolish. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, Se Guru Haya, which means, quote, one must know Krishna, then he can become a guru, unquote. Not just anyone can become a guru. Thus, the Vishnu Dutas challenged the Yama Dutas. If you are truly representatives of Dharmaraj, then you must explain what is religion and what is irreligion. That should be the criterion for determining who is actually representative of religion. It is not that everyone should be accepted as religious or as a guru. Widespread ignorance has given rise to many persons calling themselves God, representing so much nonsense in the name of Dharma. When someone says, I am God, or I have become God by mystic yoga, one should challenge him. In America, a man claimed, I am God, everyone is God, and thus gathered disciples. One day he was suffering from a toothache, and I asked him, what kind of God are you that you are suffering so much from a toothache? Only a lunatic or a cheater claims, I am God. One who has the power to punish others should not punish everyone. There are innumerable living entities, most of whom are in the spiritual world and are nitya mukta, everlastingly liberated. There is no question of judging these liberated living beings. Only a small fraction of the living entities, perhaps 1/4, are in the material world. And the major portion of the living entities in the material world, 8 million of the 8,400,000 forms of life, are lower than human beings. They are not punishable, for under the laws of material nature, they are automatically evolving. Human beings who are advanced in consciousness are responsible for their actions, but not all humans are punishable. Those engaged in advanced pious activities are beyond punishment. Only those who engage in sinful activities are punishable. Therefore, the Vishnu Dutas particularly inquired about the criteria Yamaraj uses to determine who is punishable and who is not. How is one to be judged? What is the basic principle of authority? These are the questions raised by the Vishnu Dutas. The Yama Dutas felt that they were faultless because they were following the orders of Yamaraj, who himself is faultless. Just because a magistrate has to direct the punishment of those who transgress the law, does not mean the magistrate is a criminal. He is a representative of the government. Similarly, although Yamaraj has jurisdiction over the regions of hell and deals with all sinful persons, he is a pure representative of Krishna and simply executes the order of his master. A police constable is supposed to know the law and whom to arrest for breaking the law. If he arrests anyone and everyone, then he himself is a criminal. He may not arrest the law-abiding citizens. Similarly, the Yamadutas cannot take away just anyone and everyone to the court of Yamaraj. They can take only the non-devotees to be punished for their sinful acts. Yamaraj has especially cautioned the Yamadutas not to approach Vaishnavs. However, because Ajamil had been very sinful, the Yamadutas could not understand why he should not be considered a criminal and be brought to Yamaraj for punishment. There are two classes of people in this material world. Those who are servants of God, called devas or suras, and those who are servants of maya or illusion, called asuras. In the spiritual world, however, there is only one class, because the inhabitants are all servants of God. Therefore, the spiritual world is called absolute. There is no disagreement in the spiritual world, as the center is Krishna or God, and everyone there is engaged in his service out of love, not as a paid servant. A paid servant will serve in proportion to the money he receives, but in Vaikuntha there is no question of being a paid servant. Everyone is liberated, and everyone is as opulent as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but everyone is still a servant. In the material world, people serve out of need, but in the spiritual world, everyone serves out of love. There is no need for anything because everything there is complete. The Brahma Samhita says that in the spiritual world, there are kalpa vriksha or desire trees, from which one can get anything he desires. In the material world, service is forced upon everyone. If someone does not render service, he will starve. Even a king has to work, what to speak of the poor man. Under the direction of the Supreme Lord, the material energy makes everyone into a dancing dog. The master says, "Please dance," and the dog dances, because he knows that unless he performs, he will starve. Whether in the material world or the spiritual world, everyone is a servant, but here people are under the impression that they are masters. The head of the family thinks, "I am the master of my wife and children." But in fact, he is serving each and every member of his family. The state executive officer thinks, "I am the king," or "I am the president," but actually he is the servant of the citizens. Servitude is his position, and unless he serves the citizens according to their expectations, he will be deposed or fail to win re-election. In the material world, everyone is trying to become master of all he surveys, and thus there is competition on every level. Between self-acclaimed gods, between heads of state, even between friends and family members. In this illusory competition to be master, everyone fails. Mahatma Gandhi was respected as the father of India, but after all, he was just a servant. And when one man didn't like his service, Gandhi was killed. Similarly, President Kennedy was a very popular president, but somebody saw some discrepancy in his service, and he was also killed. No one is really the master here. Everyone is either a servant of Maya or illusion, or a servant of God. Everyone has to obey the government laws. Under the spell of illusion, however, the criminal thinks, "I do not accept the government laws." Yet when he is caught, he is forced to obey the government laws in the prison house. He has no choice. Similarly, we are all servants of God, but the demoniac class of men, or asuras, do not care about God and God's laws. These rascals think there is no God, or that everyone is God, or that they themselves are God. But such gods must also follow the laws of God in the form of birth, death, disease, and old age. Only persons who are totally illusioned refuse to serve God. Instead of voluntarily rendering service to God, they are the slaves of Maya, the illusory energy of God. A person who is haunted by ghosts speaks all kinds of nonsense. Similarly, When a living entity is haunted by Maya or engrossed by the illusory effects of the material nature, he also talks foolish nonsense, and the most foolish talk is to claim that he is God. Among the two classes of men, the divine or devas, and the demoniac or asuras, there is an ongoing struggle. The asuras are always rebelling against God, and the devas are always surrendering to God. In the story of Prahlad Maharaj, we see that even among family members, there are devas and asuras. Prahlad Maharaj's father, Hiranyakashipu, was an asura, whereas Prahlad Maharaj was a deva. Naturally, a father is affectionate toward his child, but because Hiranyakashipu was a demon, he became the enemy of his son. That is the nature of demons. Of course, even a tiger has affection for her cubs, and so at first, Hiranyakashipu showed affection for Prahlad Maharaj, who was a very well-mannered and attractive child at 5 years old. One day Hiranyakashipu asked his son, "My dear boy, what is the best thing you have learned in school? Tell me." Prahlad Maharaj replied, "One should sacrifice everything to realize God. This human form of life is the best opportunity we have for making spiritual progress, and it must be utilized for realizing God." Hiranyakashipu angrily inquired from his son's teachers, "Why have you taught all this nonsense to my boy?" They fearfully answered, "Sir, we did not teach these things to this boy. He is naturally inclined toward God, so what can we do? As soon as he gets the opportunity, he begins to teach God consciousness to the other boys in the class." In the absence of his teachers, Prahlad Maharaj would immediately stand up on the bench and address his friends, "My dear boys, this life is not for enjoying sense gratification. It is for realizing God. Do not forget this." Similarly, we have taken up this preaching mission because people in general are interested only in immediate sense gratification, which is not good for them. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verse 4, Lord Rishabhadev says, "Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya apranoti," which means, quote, "Simply for sense gratification, people are committing so many sinful activities. They are just like madmen," unquote. A madman does not know what he is doing. Materialistic persons are so much engrossed in their pursuit of sense gratification that they have become maddened and commit all kinds of sins. Lord Rishabhadev says that the materialistic way of life is very risky. For those who indulge in sense gratification, Krishna gives the facility, forcing them to take birth again in the material atmosphere. A monkey has very good facility for enjoying sex. In some ways, a monkey is renounced. He lives naked in the forest. He eats only fruit. But his nature is that he must have at least 36 wives for sex enjoyment. So-called renunciants, who wear the cloth of a sadhu but secretly enjoy illicit sex with women, are just like monkeys. This is demoniac. Demons, or asuras, do not believe in God and act according to their own whims. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 15, Krishna describes them as follows. Namam duskritino mudha prabhadyante naradama mayaya parata jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. Which means, quote, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Unquote. Here Krishna clearly states, asuram bhavam ashritaha. Because the demons have taken shelter of atheistic philosophy, they are the lowest of mankind despite their advancement of education, science, and politics. Someone might object, how can you call an atheistic gentleman with a university degree a demon? He is so educated and highly qualified. The verdict of the Shastra is that although he appears to be very learned, his actual knowledge has been stolen away by Maya on account of his being atheistic. Scriptural injunctions may not be very palatable. Nonetheless, they are authoritative, and we have to preach the truth. We cannot play hide and seek with the problems of life. We must know our real position, and we must know what is religion and what is irreligion. Religion means action according to the orders of God, and irreligion means action that goes against the orders of God.